the fourth topic, the high peak of divine adoration. And each session has four messages. So in total, you have 16. And it will be a monthly publication. So if you have this standing order, every month you can read 16 messages in four different kind of topic, you know, in the history of Lord's recovery. You know, we do you want to know what's the, you know, significance of being in the Lord's recovery? This is very important for us. The first first issue they take from the first four chapters from the book, the history and the revelation of the Lord's recovery. That's the message Brother Lee given in 1981. Okay, and there's total 28 messages in that book. So in the following totally 7 months, you will be able to finish that book, the history of the history and the revelation of the Lord's recovery in 7 months. And also you can, you know, second topic, the book they're in and they take is from the book called Unknowing the Bible. Unknowing the Bible. So there's totally 5 chapters. So if you finish 4 chapters this time, and next month you will finish that book also. And also, everyone need to mature in life, right? So the third topic is very good. And of course, high peak truth is everyone need to know, not just the new believers. You know, when we are in the Lord's recovery, you know, that's very a big blessing from the Lord. We are able to know. Since we enter into the church life, we are able to know the high peak truth. So I will encourage everyone, let's also subscribe this standing order. And if right now, every week, we are enter into two message on the life study, right? So if every week we read two message on the life study, and we read four message on this book, then basically every day we can enjoy one message in the ministry. So I think I'll just want to encourage everyone, don't lose this opportunity. Okay, so financial report. The past 2 months, March and April, our total income is $32,976. And our expense, total expense for the past 2 months is $19,255. So the total surplus is $13,721. And I will give you the breakdown of the expense. Meal and the miscellaneous supply, $644. Everything related to fellowship unto gospel, $278. Conference, training, and travel, $2,739. Everything related to building, utility, and maintenance, $15,270. All others, $324. Amen.
So now we'll enter into the Holy Word for Modern Revival, this book. We're on the crystallization study of Numbers, on Numbers, week nine. So maybe for those who don't have it, maybe we can help if there are any copies. Maybe we could help with that. Thank you, Usher. Okay. So actually for this time, both me, just to give you an idea of a little bit of the schedule, both I and Tishu will help to open a little bit, but this meeting's for all of us. to function as priests and to light the lamps.
Amen.
So actually, though we're opening, both of us are opening, actually, right after we open, actually, we're just encouraging as many saints to share their portion, to be a priest, to light the lamps.
Amen.
So that as we're gathered here in the tent of meeting, the light could shine brightly.
Amen.
And near the end, as the Lord leads, there may be some brothers giving some fellowship on the upcoming conference. Okay. I'd like to start in this way. I'll read actually Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 to 17. And this is in no way to take away really from the message, but rather to strengthen it and to provide the setting in which we're entering into this in Numbers. So anyway, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 to 17, I'll read it. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord.
Amen.
Walk as children of light.
Amen.
We were once darkness. This is what the word describes us, ascribes to us. We were darkness itself. But now we are light in the Lord.
Amen.
And we ought to walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This is the fruit of light. And of course, only God is good. So that's God. And the Son here is His righteousness, carrying out His righteous procedure. And the Spirit of reality is truth here. So we have the triune God as the fruit of light, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, and do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is shameful even to speak of. But all things are reproved, all things which are reproved are made manifest by the light. For everything that makes manifest is light. I hope as I'm reading this word, you would receive light in your spirit.
Amen.
What is light?
Amen.
Light is that which is manifest.
Amen. Amen.
So whatever is manifested is light.
Amen.
Actually, there's no need to really search for light. Light searches us.
Amen.
Light searches me and you.
Amen.
And as we know in the verse in Psalms 36, 9, in your light we see light. May this be our prayer. Lord, we need your light, your divine heavenly light, so that we can see light, which is the true nature, the real condition of things.
Amen.
And the chapter continues. Therefore, he says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
Amen.
Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so this is the context of this book in Numbers. Because the days are evil, we need to be wise in how we walk. And because all of us here, we're all priests, He redeemed us. He purchased us out of every tribe and nation to make us a nation of priests. But now we're here. We have to see the days are evil. And actually, the age is very dark. I don't think it needs much imagination or much contemplation to realize actually the situation that we're in this age, in the world, even in the religious world. Isn't it so dark? So that's why we have Romans 13:12. The night is far advanced,
right?
And the day has drawn near. We should not be in any stupefied condition. We need to see the age, the time that we're in this age, is far advanced. We're at the cusp. We're at the past the 11th hour, you could say. We're in a very dark age, but the day is drawing near.
Amen.
We should not be befuddled. We should not be disillusioned. We are in this age. Therefore, we should cast off our works of darkness and put on weapons of light.
Amen.
Weapons of light. And so this is where we enter into the book of Numbers, where we see actually the book of Numbers is the children of Israel. We're here, they're gathered up, they're numbered as an army to fight for the Lord's interests on the earth today. In particular, right now in this age, there needs to be, we need to, as priests, we need to put on the weapons of light.
Amen.
The weapons of light. And I'd just like to I'd like to read a point of the outline. It's not in the beginning, but it's under Roman numeral 3, C2, small a, and small b. For the most part, the meeting of God's people is in the holy place, not in the holy of holies. However, we meet in the holy place with the expectation of entering the holy of holies.
Amen.
Small b, the light from the lamps enable us to see the different aspects of Christ, signified by the items of the furniture in the holy place, and also the way leading into the holy of holies, into the depths of Christ within God. This is why we need the lamps lit. In particular, what is light, or who is light? It's God. God is light. He is the nature of, light is the nature of God's expression. And we know that light, where is light in this dark age? We see in the type of the tabernacle, it's in the tent of meeting. There is the lampstand, and we see specifically in Numbers 8, the lamp is shining in front of the lampstand. And who is taking care of the lampstand, the shining of the light? It's the priests. So all of us here, not just a few of us, actually all of us, we should feel, I need to take care of this lamp.
Amen.
By maintaining it, by bearing it, and by causing this light to ascend.
Amen.
So that here in the church, there would be full of light.
Amen.
And this light is so with the goal that it would bring us into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
It's so that it's not only to illuminate all the furniture in the holy place with the showbread table, right, and even the incense altar, but it's to give us a direction. The light is to give us a direction so there's no confusion. There's no any kind of frustration. The way is open to us. Right, He opened a new and living way so that we would enter into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
And as in the Holy of Holies, we saw last week, God speaking is here. God shining in His Shekinah glory is here. He's speaking above the expiation cover. So all our sins, they're covered. Don't worry about your history. Don't worry about your weaknesses and your failures. The blood is sprinkled here, but He is shining in His glory, in His splendor, and He's speaking to us. This is the purpose, this is the direction of which this light affords us, is to bring us all the way into the Holy of Holies, where God is, we meet with God, we dwell with God, we take God as our rest and our satisfaction and as our comfort. This is where we just dwell one with God and we are one with God. So here in this message, we see actually under Roman numeral 1, under A2, for those who have it, maybe you could read it with me. Roman numeral 1, A2. The unique purpose of lighting the lamps was for offering, fighting, and moving. Offering, fighting, and moving all require light. This is in the context of a warfare. Because of the situation that we're in. We need to put on weapons of light. We need to be the bearers of light. It's an exercise. It requires our exercise. And even there is a sacrifice. We need to be ones who are bearing His light. Without the shining of light, the children of Israel could not move, much less fight for God. Therefore, as soon as they consecrated something, as seen in Numbers 7, they immediately lit the lamps in order for the light to shine. Under Roman numeral 2, we see under C, number 7. We read this last week. Number 7 was the foundation in which we crystallized that message last week. And when Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice speaking to him from above the expiation cover that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubim, and he spoke to him.
Amen.
What did the Lord speak? We enter into Numbers 8. Then Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps will give light in front of the lampstand." And Aaron did so. He set up its lamps to give light in front of the lampstand as Jehovah had commanded Moses. Where do we also see the seven lamps in the Bible? We see this in Revelation, where there are seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. Amen. These lamps of fire is certainly to expose us. It's to convict us, to penetrate us, to cause us to see our actual situation. But with the light, as we sang this morning, there are pleasant rays to infuse us with His light.
Amen.
And this light brings life. And this life is in such a condition where we're just under the infusing of His light. This light motivates us. But as the lamps of fire burning before the throne, this lamp it administrates. There is the burning and purging aspect, but there's the administration,
yes,
of this light.
Amen.
It causes the people to know what they're doing.
Yes.
We're moving.
Amen.
We are fighting.
Amen.
And we are serving in the tabernacle.
Amen.
C2, only when there is God speaking in the church can light shine brightly among God's people. The ministering priests were able to minister and move because of the light of the lampstand. This is another very important point. We see that God is light, but this light is consolidated in the Word. Why does Numbers 8 follow Romans 7, verse 89, that last verse? Because with God speaking, there is always light. And as we're here learning to dwell in the holiest place, between where there's the Lord is speaking above the expiation cover, between the two cherubim of glory, God speaking issues forth light.
Amen.
And so we really see that with the word that is given to us, all the promises in the Bible, it affords to us the opening of His word gives light.
Amen.
In Psalms 119, 105, the word is a lamp to our feet.
Amen.
And a light to our path.
Amen.
And the shining of the divine light makes everything that is old brand new. It brings forth freshness. There is brightness in His Word and under the shining of His light. So we see, I'd just like to bring out again this verse, Psalms 119, 130. The opening of your Word gives light, imparting understanding to the simple. May we be the simple ones here. Not bogged down by so many things, by the philosophies of this age, like our brothers spoke, like by the theories of life, we should really just drop this.
Amen.
And we should be the simple ones.
Amen.
So that we could really have understanding under His light.
Amen.
So that when we enter into the Word, as we open the Bible, as we read the Bible, the opening of His Word would give light to us.
Amen.
So that requires us, we need to be the simple ones, the pure ones. The pure ones with a pure heart. We should always open our heart to the Lord whenever we enter into the Word so that His light can shine in our heart. And that He can really touch us, He could convict us, and He could judge us. But with this judging and convicting, there's always the infusion of life. And we just get supplied, we get refreshed, we get motivated, we're energized, we're full of life, because we're receiving the light that is from Him, from the Word. And so under Roman numeral 3, there are the pure oil of beaten olives. And we need to maintain it, we see, from evening to morning. From evening to morning. This is the setting. We're in an evening age. But we need to be brought all the way into the morning. And our brother will continue.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to share something quite significant to me when I was reading this outline. As I rather share, this outline is based on the crystallization in the book of Numbers. And then before we were into the crystallization of the book of Numbers, we were all in the crystallization of the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, we also have this crystal of the lampstand and attending of the lampstand, right? What is the difference? What is the difference? Actually, we see in Numbers this this mentioning of the lesson is very much related to actions. We see here the lighting of the lesson, it is for moving. It is for journeying. It is for fighting. And it is for service. Therefore, shall we say, here, when we're entering into this topic of the shining force of the lampstand, it has much to do with our practice, how we practice. I'll dive a little bit more into this. If we come to day two, Roman numeral number two, shall we read that together?
The light of the lampstand is based on the strength of the priest's service.
It's based on the strength of the priest service. All brothers and sisters, remember, there is a very sad warning examples in the book of Samuel where the light of the sanctuary becoming dim because of very weak priestly service. Now, the point says the light of the lampstand is based on the strength of the priest service. Now, should we ask them, what is the strength of the priestly service based upon? Did we ever consider this? Now, if we come to day five, that is under big point 3D, we have the answer. In day 5D, it says, the holy task of lighting the lamp was the service of holy persons, the priests, not of common people. Not of common people. And further on, it says, according to the entire Bible, a priest is one who is possessed by God, filled with God, centered with God, and living absolutely for God. Furthermore, a priest had to be clothed with priestly garments, which signify Christ lived out of the priesthood. So, brothers and sisters, we already know the outline showed us here the lighting of the lamp in the sanctuary signifies our meeting. Our church meeting, our Christian meeting. So, in this context, lighting of the lampstand and the service is in this context of the Christian meetings, church meetings. As it is right now, this is a meeting. This is where the priest can serve. But how strong the priest can serve, what does that depend on? It depends on how we live. From Monday to Saturday, how we live. Did we live Christ? Did we have the reality of the priestly garments? In association to priests, I will also say, what do we eat? What food did we enjoy during the 6 days before the Lord's Day? Did we eat Christ? Did we walk in Christ? Did we live Christ? Only when we have the reality, then we have the strength and we have the qualification to light the lampstand. I will also point one quite significant difference here in the numbers from the one that in Exodus, right? In Exodus, you remember, when we're talking about the lampstand, we pointed to the church. When we're talking about the weak, the light, we point it to ourselves. But here it says everything is Christ. The lampstand is Christ. Oil is Christ. The wick is Christ. The furniture is Christ. What does that mean? Everything is ready. Everything is done. The only thing missing is whether or not will there be a priest to light the light. Imagine this. Today, we are all saved people. We receive the all-inclusive spirit where Christ is person, his humanity, his divinity, the spirit, and all the aspects that we can enjoy fully compounded into this spirit, and this spirit is given to us. Is that a fact? Objective fact? Yes, this is. But what if we as priests, we're not willing to light the light? What if that happens? Even though we have everything, we have all the furniture in the sanctuary, we say doctrinally, teachingly, we have this, we have that in our spirit. What if We never light a lamp. We're in darkness. Of course, yes, it's still in our spirit, but experientially, it will be as if we had nothing. And further on, if we continue, we see from the last 2 points, point 5 and point 6, this lightning, this shining, eventually is not for us. Eventually, it's for God Himself.
Amen.
Right? We can see, we have to first see the furniture in the sanctuary, then we can enjoy it. We have to see, right, the table of the bread of faith, then we can enjoy it. We have to see the incense altar, then we can know how to pray. And all of this is for God Himself to move.
Amen.
It's for God Himself to carry out His administration.
Amen.
And much of this are practiced in the meeting, as right now. So, brothers and sisters, do we see this is very significant? Even though God, our Lord, prepared everything for us, if we do not rise up, then not only we're ourselves in darkness, but also there is no way for God to use us to carry out His administration. How long more shall we delay His government? How long more shall we delay His returning back? Therefore, brothers and sisters, it is crucial for us, and it's even more crucial for us to consider how we live. The days before the Lord's Day, the days before the prayer meeting, the days before our small group meeting, are we priests in our workplace? Are we priests in our family living? Are we priests when we are conversing and chatting with our friends and colleagues? Are we living Christ? We must gain that reality so that we can offer the priestly service in the church meeting, that through the shining force of the light, we can see Christ. We see, we enjoy, and then we know and understand where we should be, where we should go, how we should pray, how we should fight. So then God can use us to carry out His administration. Therefore, brothers and sisters, fellow priests of God, rise up and offer your service. Light the lamp.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, last Friday we have a small group meeting at my home. Not many people, only 7 people. So I don't expect much. I said I think I have to share more and maybe make more contributions so the meeting can people can gain. So people can gain more. But in the meeting, one of the brothers, he picked a song. All of a sudden, that song touched me. It's like a lightning. So I remember in this week's message saying, everything done in church meetings, whether praying, singing, praising, or prophesying, should cause the lamp to shine. I did spend a lot of time personally pray, read the Bible, read other books. I do see lights, no problem. But in a meeting, there's another portion of light. So I didn't pay much attention in the meeting in the very beginning. I thought this is just a regular Friday small group meeting. I didn't expect much, but all of a sudden the light shine on me. So what I gain from this is sometimes we do have to have time, have our personal time with the Lord. But when we come to the meeting, sometimes it's different. Some of the light is different. So that's why I'm telling me, try not look down upon the meetings. Maybe at a certain time, maybe I didn't even realize, maybe one brother, his prayer, maybe one verse, maybe one hymn, it can shine light on
Amen.
Me and save me. Thanks.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Something that touched me, and they too, is
On day two, it says on the bottom of today's reading, it says, we have to pray at night and in the morning so that the light of God may shine brightly among us.
Amen.
The light should be so bright that the illumining of the light becomes God's move. Oh, wow. The brothers say we need to be the bearers of light, to shine to the unbelievers. Now, Jesus, God came as the light. He was the light in this world, and this light is here now. Now, shine the dark in the darkness. Now, God's move. How could it be God's move? Now, we are the light. Now, there came a couple to the school, and with a boy, and his wife told my wife that he was atheist. He didn't believe in God. But my wife and I, we need to be the light. But this Christ had to shine in us to be the light. So we were sharing with them. And finally, last week, he received the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He was born again. Now, the point is this. Sometimes we use the light for our loved ones, for our friends. No, we must be the light for the unbelievers so they can see this light and come to Him. If we only going to preach the gospel or show this light to the ones that are close to us and the ones we love, our friends, and not to our co-workers, not to our classmates, not to our friends, not to the other ones. So, the Lord Jesus came not for the spiritual people. He didn't come for the priests who were wicked and hypocrites. He told them, you're hypocrites. You say you see me, but you don't see me. Now, this light must shine. But how could it be shining? Is the lamp would be not on unless we put oil. We need to put oil in this lamp. We need to read the word. We need to pray day and night. Otherwise, we will not shine to nobody.
Amen.
Now, the unbelievers need to see the shine. Sometimes we don't want to share with those ones that are wicked or bad because, they won't hear it. They won't understand. Just be the light. Love them. Share with them. Because we can't use it. Otherwise, there won't be God move. If we only want to preach the gospel or share this light with our close ones and loved ones, only here when we are in the meeting, so God's move will not advance. So we must pray and say, Lord, give me more light so I can shine to my neighbor. I can shine to the one that hates me. I can shine to the unbelievers so they can see you. They can see you. And that's the only way the Lord could move. So we must pray all together so the light can shine to the unbelievers for God's move.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. This week, we enter into the message about lighting the lamp.
Amen.
Amen. So we are in the age of the night, right? This darkness. We really need the priest to light the lamp and bring the light, that the light can shine.
Amen.
So I was really touched by one point in this week's message is about the lighting the lamp. Brother mentioned that it had much to do with the words of God, right?
Amen.
With the words of God. So whenever the God words come, so His people receive the light.
Amen.
I think that's why it mentioned the First Samuel. So what you see there is at the time of Eli, the priest, is that the word of Jehovah was rare in those days, right? The vision was not widespread, and Eli's eyesight actually was grow dim. So he could not see, right? The brother mentioned that during this age, the words of Jehovah was rare, and the lamps in the holy place was almost was about to go out. So then the brother mentioned to us, so only when there's God speaking, right, in the church, the light can shine brightly among God's people. I think that's why our brother mentioned the Psalm 119, right? In other words, your word is a lamp to my feet and the light of my path. This can be, so God speaking will be our light and shining. But for this to be our experience, as actually the brother also mentioned, it's not the words as dead letters bring light. So the words have to become the spirit words. I think brother, the message Virgil mentioned, so we need to enter into these words by exercising our spirit.
Amen.
Every time we enter into the word, we exercise our spirit, we open our heart to the words. So we mingle the word with our spirit. And these words become the spirit words. And it brings life.
Amen.
And it must bring light.
Amen.
It brings shining. Right? So, and this is, and actually this should be our experience as priests. So before we even talk about lighting the lamps, we first need to be the one really receive the shining under God's shining. Right? We come with, through God speaking. And this shining, on one hand, it will recover our spiritual eyesight. Right? So we could see. And then we, and Barthes even mentioned, actually this kind of shining is, well, bring this, like cutting the wicks, right? Adding the oil. Then we will be filled with spirit. And then eventually, and we will fulfill the duty of lighting the lamps, we will come to the meetings, we need to minister the spirit words, right? We need to minister life. And this will bring the shining of the light. So I think, of course, this is not talking about a few people. So the brother, every one of us, we are the priests. We should fulfill this duty of lighting the lamps. So in every meeting, so we need to exercise our spirit. So here we need to cause the lamp to light, cause the light to rise to our sin. That's our duty. So in the meeting, we're not here to share about our philosophy, but not our natural self. We're here to minister God, minister the words of God. And this will, in this, and when this God is speaking and the light is shining, and what have is the God's children will be enlightened, so they can see, even can see the holy of the place, the holy of holy. Right, that's the goal. Right? We all can see clearly the way into the holy of holies. So
amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We may all become the priests who fulfill this duty.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. I also enjoy that how God's speaking and how God's word is connected to the light. So in day 2, it says, number 7 ends with God speaking in the tent of a meeting, and chapter 8 begins with God's continuous speaking concerning the lighting of the lamps for light. And it says this sequence indicates that whenever God's word comes, his people receives light. And thus, during the age of Eli, the priest, when the word of Jehovah was rare, we see the lamps is about to go out. Oh, Lord Jesus. So we see how when we have God speaking, the light, the lamps will shine. Oh, Lord Jesus. And also, I really touched by your brother speaking in this message. A good practice for us to receive God speaking is to pre-read the word.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I think many times, brothers and sisters have stressed the importance of pre-reading the word. Oh, Lord. So, Lord Jesus. So, in day 2, in this week, I tried to, like, to be more serious about the matter of pre-read the word.
Amen.
So, in day 2, it says, in Samuel, in 1 Samuel, chapter 3 to 3. And at the time Eli lay in his place, and his eyesight had begun to grow dim.
Amen.
So that he could not see.
Amen.
And the Lamb of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel lay in the temple of Jehovah,
Amen.
Where the ark of God was. So in this, when I was getting into this morning while we are on Tuesday, I was so touched the comparison between Eli and Samuel. The word says, Eli lay in his place, and Samuel lay in the temple of Jehovah, and the ark of God was with Samuel. So I was really touched by this word. I pre pre-read this word back to Lord. I pray to Lord, make me today's Samuel. Lord, I want to live in the temple of God. Oh, Lord Jesus, I don't want to care just for my family, for my job, or for my future, for my career. Lord, you are the center. So, oh, Lord Jesus, I really, really touched that we need God speaking. We need to pre-read His word to cause our lamp to shine. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I'd like to follow the speaking. So 1 Samuel 3:3 says, Samuel lay in the temple.
Amen.
Verse 2 says, Eli lay in his own place.
Yes.
Amen. Eli, his eyes were going dim, mm-hmm. and he could not see. And the lamp was about, the lamp of God was about to go out, or was not yet gone out. Verse 1 says, the word of Jehovah was rare. But Samuel was laying in the temple, where the ark of God was. The ark of God is where the expiation cover is. That's the throne. The throne. So Samuel was laying where the throne was.
Amen.
God speaks from the midst between the cherubim. So the face of God, the shining of God, His presence is there. And His speaking is there. The tabernacle signifies the dwelling place of God, the presence of God, His face shining. The tent of meeting signifies his speaking with us.
Amen.
So Samuel was laying in the temple where the ark was. Eli was laying in his own place.
Amen.
So there was no service with Eli. Even his sons, the priests, were so degraded that God condemned them. They were condemned. He judged them. But with Samuel, there was the word. Amen. He learned to answer. So the Lord spoke. He answered. Here's your servant. Speak. Here is your servant. Speak. So in the days of Samuel, the word was not rare. So Numbers 8:2 says, So Jehovah spoke to Moses. Then it says, speak to Aaron and say to him, when you set up the lamps, the light of the lamps will shine in front of the lampstand. So here we have with the throne, with the speaking of God, with the presence of God, there's the order. There's the administration. And in particular, this week, there's the light, the ascending of the light. But there's something that's in between the presence and the speaking and the light is the service. There's us. We need to hear the Lord, and we need to bring the oil to light to take care of the lamp so that the light could ascend. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Exodus 27:20-21 says, you shall command the children of Israel to bring to you pure oil of beaten olives for the light, to make the lamps burn continually in the tent of meeting, outside the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his son shall maintain it in order from evening to morning before Jehovah. It shall be a perpetual statute to be observed throughout their generations by the children of Israel.
Amen.
We see that the oil in the lamps, the light came from the oil. It was beaten olives, meaning that this was the spirit that had been produced by the process, by the embodiment of the triune God, by the divine nature of the Father, and the uplifted humanity of Jesus on the earth. So the experience of the Spirit as the oil was pressed out of the fruit of the olive tree. And the light came from the wick. The wick had to be pruned, it had to be cut, right? And so, but you needed to have the olive, which deals with all the things to make that wick be able to burn clearly and purely. If there was no pure olive oil that was beaten, if there were no dealings in our human living, our wick is going to be burned and it's going to come out natural. We're going to have natural life. And natural light does not enlighten anyone. When we see that the psalmist in Psalm 73 was perplexed by a matter concerning the heathen, and he didn't have any light, but when he came into the sanctuary, he saw their end. He saw the situation clearly. And here we see that we need the cross to work in us. The pure olive oil is the oil that has been passed through all the processes of the triune God. Without these experiences, we have no light. We can call on the name of the Lord. We can, pray, read, and scream and shout and all this stuff, and it will be natural light, which will not enlighten. And we see that God gave this command to Moses for the children of Israel when they were going, where they were ready to move. So this is for moving, for fighting, for offering to the Lord. So I really enjoy the fact that without the olive oil, without the experiences of our Lord in our living, no light at all. Everything will be natural, and that we have to be open to this dealing that the Lord has with us. Amen. So this impressed me very much, this oil, pure oil beaten. What is it? Beaten olive oil. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
To follow this fellowship, this is the point that touched me the most this week. We see that the whole lampstand was made, the lamp was made by gold, pure gold. But the gold cannot light, cannot give light. The lighting part is the wick in the lamp, and the lamp. I mean, the whole out of the whole lamp. That's the only part that's not made of gold. It's made of the wicks are made of the plant life, which signifies the humanity of Christ. And today, as we are Christians, we're supposed to be shining among all the people around us. However, I mean, the Lord is in us, but if our wicks are not trimmed, not pruned properly, and not being totally, completely saturated with the olive oil, we cannot give out light. We probably give lots of smoke, which will be so unpleasant, so upsetting, and whatever, all negative things. So I was just like, oh Lord, how much we, as I mean, we are, it's just the Lord's design. He's not using the gold to light. He's using the wicks to give out the light.
Right.
Meaning that without Christ's humanity, there will be no light. And us, we have to be filled with Christ's humanity.
Amen.
How can we be saturated with olive oil? We need to enjoy Him. We need to abide by His word. We need to eat Him. We need to drink Him. As you all know, my husband just lost his father. As a daughter-in-law, I was assigned a very privileged job. Actually, assignment started 10 years ago. My father-in-law said, I'm 90, I'm 90-something now, so I think the Lord will be taking me soon. And so he said, Ruth, I want you to start writing up my life story. I was like, whoa, out of all your children, because Caleb is the youngest, and of course I'm the youngest daughter-in-law. But anyway, so I picked up upon this job, and these days we're finalizing the writing of it. And I just felt so privileged that I saw his life story in front of me. He's a very pure person. He's simple. He's not the kind of person who would give powerful messages in the big gatherings. But he just take care of people. He just took care of people. He loved people, and he enjoys the word. One thing that we were talking about was that the year of 2005, I believe, when he attended the conference, the spring conference, the Chinese-speaking conference, and the brother Andrew Yu, challenged the saints, said, "Well, I challenge you to read one life message a day, for 5 years, you can finish all 1,984 messages. And I don't know if you, I know some of us who picked up that challenge and did. And my father-in-law, he was 87 years old at that time, at the year. He said, wow. He said, I want to enter those into those messages. Because he always regretted that he wasn't saved early when he was young. He was saved, I believe, when he was either 49 or 50 years old. He said, how I wish I could be saved younger. So when my mind was clearer, sharper, then I can really be equipped with all the truth and the word. But he made up what he was missing. Anyway, so he started at age 87. He said, Lord, I don't know how many years you're going to give me. I may not have 5 years. So he read double portions. So in 2 years, he finished all 1,984 messages. And then he said, wow, the Lord still keep me here. So I can read more. So he went on, he read through the whole the Watchman Nee's works. I lost count how many messages. But anyway, so he read through the whole Watchman Nee literal works. And then he didn't stop there. He's still reading the Bible. And when Caleb called me, he told me, he said, guess what chapter he was the day before he fell ill? He was at Revelation chapter 3. I was like, wow, how fitting. The Lord is really calling out to him to be an overcomer. And he just totally saturated by the word. And every time he has a chance, he would always encourage the young ones, saying, read the word. Enjoy the word. Enjoy the Lord. Pursue the Lord. Love the Lord. You know, for his age, for his generation, most people were saved when they were grown-ups already. But me, as a second-generation Christian, among all many of us, we were born into a Christian family. We don't know how much we're blessed. Saints, we really need to pursue the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? We have been given such a rich heritage, an inheritance. Let us enjoy the Lord. Let us love Him, pursue Him with all we have, so that we can be totally saturated by Him.
Amen.
So we can be the shining ones.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
From the saints' sharing, we know the shining of the divine light is everything to us in our church life.
Right.
Amen. Without the light, without the having the divine light, we cannot go, we cannot see where to go, and we don't know what to do. And even we have a lot of outside activity, we are going nowhere. And without the light, we frustrate God's work.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. So just this reminds me of Philippians 3:7, for example. But what things were gains to me, now I have counted as loss on account of Christ, even counted as refuse in order to gain Christ. That means without light, we may gain a lot of things, but with light, those things are garbage. Just like sharing, lights penetrate to expose. When there's light, we may find we stand on pile of garbage.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So also, without the light, there's no regulating. We may walk in circles. We all need to ask the Lord, year over year, how much growth in life for me, and how much, renewed in my spirit or mind.
Amen.
Do we walk in circle? So we really need to have a light.
Amen.
In order not to be above, but we stay the same.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hope this word shines some light within you.
Amen.
If not, if you still don't have a feeling, then it's a Ephesians, like a brother David mentioned this morning. Therefore he says, awake, sleepers, arise from the dead. Christ will shine upon you.
Amen.
Upon
Amen.
You and me.
Yes.
Amen. So, on the one hand, we are not the source of light. God is light himself.
Right.
And Christ is the light of the world. And the Spirit brings in the light. And the light is in the Word of God.
Amen.
On the other hand, we need to cooperate with Lord and fulfill our priestly duty.
Amen.
To light the lamps in the church life.
Amen.
So that we may keep the divine light shining. So the light of lampstand is based on the strength of the priest's service. There's light on the lampstand, but how much this light is shining depends on our priest's service. And brothers and sisters, it depends on you and me.
Amen.
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 So we don't want to have we don't want to be in the situation where the light, you know, is about to go out,
right.
Or the testimony is about to go out.
Right.
And we don't like it to be in a situation or like Saudis, mm-hmm. where they were living in names,
mm-hmm.
but they're about to die in according to their work.
Mm-hmm.
May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Amen. If we mean business to serve the Lord in the church and be a real priest, we need to rise up and keep the light shining.
Amen.
And we need to do this both personally and corporately.
Right.
So every morning we need to contact the Lord and dress the lamps again,
right.
And tending to the lamps.
Amen.
So that means every day and in our daily living. So the lighting of the lamps has much to do with the Word, just like Brother shared. So the entrance of God's Word gives light. Which gives us light today is the trying God shining through His Word. So we need the Word of God. So light doesn't, you know, the other shares, light doesn't shine forth from their letters, but from the Spirit Word.
Amen.
That means, you know, we need to mingle the Word with the exercise of Spirit through prayers.
Amen.
The Word becomes living. We need to practice to pray, reading the Word every day.
Amen.
So when we pray, read the Word of God, the light, God's light shines within us.
Amen.
And when this happens in the deep and the living way every day, light will burst forth. And this light will judge any negative things within us.
Amen.
And will train the wicks, and it will add the oil.
Amen.
Amen. So cooperate, you know, so let us light the lamps in our experience daily.
Amen.
So that we may receive the divine light in Word. Then when we come to the meeting of the church, we will come with light.
Amen.
And we will light the lamps in the holy place. So may we all realize when we come to the meetings of the church, no matter, you know, corporate meeting, small group meeting, you know, may we realize, you know, we don't have to say things of ourselves or manufacture the light in our natural man.
Right.
Yeah, we simply need to exercise our spirit and cause light to ascend.
Amen.
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 Amen. So that we may light lamps in our meetings.
Amen.
So we all need to speak in the same direction.
Amen.
Yeah, following the flow of the Spirit.
Amen.
To speak as one man. So when we speak in the meeting, we minister to Christ by being one with Christ and shining Him out and shining from Christ and toward Christ. So may we not bring darkness to the meeting. So all things we know, we could bring darkness to the meeting. So we don't want to bring darkness to meeting. Amen. 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 So also, so may we not allow our meeting to be in darkness.
Amen.
Yeah. May we simply be those walking in the light and enjoy God's light in His Word and shining Him forth in the meeting of the church by our speaking and the living.
Amen.
So we need to have God's speaking in the church.
Amen.
There needs to be abundance of light from many saints speaking the living Word of God. So that the inner thoughts of the heart could be manifested.
Amen.
And many would see that God is among us.
Amen.
Because His light is there. Amen.
Amen.
So today, in the church life, we really need the Word of God.
Amen.
We cannot have the church life without the Lord's fresh speaking.
Right.
So we should not have meeting where the Word is weak.
Amen.
Amen. So. Just like today's announcement, today is the deadline for the Northeast Chinese speaking conference. So let us all pay the price to attend this conference and receive the Lord's fresh speaking.
Amen.
So these lights will motivate us and energize us to be one with the Lord. Amen. So He has a way to move within our church.
Amen.
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 I think the first thing for this message, we need to realize we're in the age of darkness. If you don't feel, if you don't have this realization, you don't feel the need to have light, honestly. You might, and then if you turn off the light in this room, you will immediately seek light. You will immediately want to open, turn on the light. If you go home at night, right? The first thing what you do, you turn on the light. I would say it, simply knowing the this is not enough. Because this is a sense, we need to have this, you need to feel the age, the world is full of darkness. I will even say, we need to feel our heart, we have a darkness in our heart, need to be lightened. If you don't feel if you don't feel your heart has darkness, you don't need light. Brother cover me. I said, I feel when I suddenly realize why sometimes I go so angry, why sometimes I become so tired, hatred, because in my heart full of darkness. The light will help us go through a lot of our situation. So first point, we need to realize we need to feel the darkness in our heart, so we begin to see light with our spirit. So the second point is, the lamp is not an electric lamp. Okay? It's not about, if you go with, that's why I heard so many saints say, we need oil in the lamp. It's not just going to the meeting, you turn on the switch. No, you won't do that. You need to pray, if you look carefully, Matthew chapter 25, 10 virgins, fine, they all have land. Because we are all saved. We have land, but we need to prepare the oil in our vessel.
Amen.
Which means in our soul needs to prepare.
Amen.
You prepare oil every day. So, and then if you look at the title, Lightening the Lamp, this is the action, right? I hope, I think we're so, we're so familiar with this imagery, but we need to bring actions. We need to start reading the Bible.
Amen.
I would say this is, sometimes we navigate, deviate from this point. As a Christian, we need to read Bible.
Amen.
To be able to prepare oil. You might attend meeting after meeting. If you don't read Bible in your daily life, you will not have the oil storage. And then start reading ministry book. I want to add one more point. Ministry book is also very good. At my home, I have more than 100 ministry. Any time I open a ministry book, I feel enlightened.
Amen.
And then just, I'll try to say, just turn this into some planning. Don't just, I wish I can have a read more Bible tomorrow. Make this become an actionable item. Make this into our daily planning. Plan some time to read Bible, read God's words, whatever effort. We need to commit ourselves to read this, to do this. Otherwise, we're not going much further.
Amen.
Our meeting will become just like the age of Eli, if we don't prepare oil, honestly. We need to bring oil to the meeting.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to continue with the brother sharing, because the story of the 10 virgins really touched me. And we all know the story of the 10 virgins. Some had oil and some did not. But sometimes one of the things I feel like that is often forgotten is like how we purchase this oil and why we need this oil. So like the brother was sharing, we need to actually spend time with the Lord. And I'll read this part of Matthew 25, So on verse 11, it says, afterward, that this is after, I read actually from verse 10. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So that's one thing that really touched me. We have to like redeem every moment of our time. Because if we don't buy that oil, the Lord will not know us, and we will not be able to enjoy Him in the marriage feast.
Amen.
And it really makes sense if you just if you think about it, you know, a little bit more deeply. The Lord wants us to know Him. There has to be this intimate relationship. We cannot simply, you know, say, hey, I met you for an hour, and I want to spend an eternity with you. You know, so we have to know Him. We have to spend and redeem every moment of our time. I know it's difficult, you know. I myself, I'm a college student, also work and consumes almost all my time. But you need to have that thirst. You need to have that oil to be purchased.
Amen.
And every moment you can, whether it's you're waiting for your bus to come, redeem your time.
Amen.
Say a prayer.
Amen.
Talk to Him.
Amen.
Remember that He's a person.
Right.
Amen.
You can talk to Him.
Amen.
And talk to Him as like you would talk to another person.
Right.
He is our brother and a firstborn son.
Amen.
So I just want you to enjoy that.
Amen.
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 So yeah, this week's message, when I try to apply it, I think the Lord shining me is like, you know, take care of your children, and also to take care of other people's children. So like Friday morning when I prayed, so I prayed for the whole like college saints in the campus. So I just that's my prayer. Say Lord, I would like to serve you.
Amen.
So sometimes I can be occupied by my own family. You know, I have a valid reason. I say I already have four children. But I think the Lord shines on me. I say I pray to the Lord. So no, even though I have four children, but I want to serve you. But all the college saints are also other people's children and our dear brothers and sisters. So I again today I'm touched by all the sharing. That's the opportunity we come together so we can make the light brighter. So I can contribute my own portion, but with all the brother and sister portion together, we can shine brighter.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise to the Lord. In this week's message, Brother Maduro at the winter training explained us six functions of light. The first of all is that light enables the shining and illumination. Because of this lighting, because of this lamp's lighting, it removes the darkness. The second function of light is enlightening, and it gives us the details once the light is shining upon. The third function of light is of its infusion power. It has penetrating power into every one of us, the children of God. The fourth function of light is of its function of regulation and discipline us. Every one of us has such an experience that when light is out, when there's a darkness, you would always walk in a circle. The fifth function of light is that this light is going to minister to us and guide us along this line to enjoy the Lord. And the sixth function of light is that light can motivate us and move us so that we can practice this vital Christian life.
I really enjoyed the message for this week is because at the very beginning, it gave us some distraction is, well, in last week, God speak to us a lot among the two cherubims in the holies of holy. Are we retreating from the holy of holy into the holy place? No. In this message, brother encourage us that we can see the needs of this lightning and allow this light to ascend in the location where God speaks to us. This place is the tabernacle, is the tent of the meeting place where God speaks to His redeemed and chosen people. This typifies that, Lord, whenever when we are in the meeting, light will shine upon us. Light will send us and provide an even stronger testimony. Since right now we are in the prophesy meeting, since in the coming Tuesday we have a prayer meeting, since in the coming Wednesday we have another meeting, so the saints will share the blessing of God practicing God all that way. But don't forget, brother and sister, in the next few days, we are going to have the Chinese-speaking conference at KBCC. I personally enjoy this Chinese-speaking conference in the past 20 more years. I enjoy the leading and enjoy the light. Not the natural light, not the man-made light, not the human light, but the light from Him,
Amen.
From the glorious God.
Amen.
Whenever there is such a Chinese-speaking conference, my personal life in the Christian life is strengthened. Whenever there was such a Chinese-speaking conference, I was guided, I was ministered, and I have such a direction. So, before the closing of this prophesy meeting, I'd like to encourage every one of us who can take the advantage of this Chinese conference, speaking conference, and take the advantage of it. If you could spare your time, jump in and enjoy it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to use a minute to share. Saints, we're in this, we're very blessed. Do you all agree? We're in this rich ministry, and we have a lot of speaking. I'm pretty sure that all saints, I got much shining today, this morning.
Amen.
As priests, right, as corporate priests, we really need to, you know, in every meeting, every situation, right, every, even in our daily life, even in our family life, we can let the Word of God to shine. In fact, I really encourage the saints to enter into the Word. A lot of saints were sharing. In fact, our last home meeting Friday, saints were, you know, giving a testimony how they enjoy the Lord and enjoy, you know, the Word, enjoy the ministry, and that's how we get kept in the ministry. We were, you know, kept our love right towards Him. In fact, all these opportunities we should really treasure, right? Like the brothers already mentioned, the coming. In fact, we just had the past English speaking the spring conference, right? And we received much speaking, much shining from that conference. So saints, let's grasp every opportunity, right? On the Wednesday fellowship, the upcoming weekend conference, let's all jump in, let's all come. And we also pray that the Lord will shine through His speaking.
Amen.
And then we also receive the shining. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Saints, in the Bible, it revealed to us many aspects of God. We know God's love, God's light, God is spirit.
Amen.
And this week, particularly talking about light. God works by light to cast out the particularly darkness. Because God is light, so he needs to shine. The reason why he saved us is for this shining. Therefore, in the New Testament, it told us we are the light of the world.
Amen.
We are even so-called the children of light. Brother and sister, do you realize who you are? You are the light of the world. When you realize who you are, you will change. Concerning our function, Bible tells us we are the priest. And brother and sister share many concerning our function. Our function mainly is to enlighten or to lightening the light. If we don't lighten in the light, what will happen? God's economy will not be complete. We will lose our existence. Church will lose its function. We are the light of the world.
Amen.
And church is the lampstand to shine. I hope you will see this so crucial. Your function as a priest, my function as a priest, to lightening the lamp. In order to, for us to lighten the lamp, we need to burn the incense. The sequence is very meaningful. First, you have to burn the incense, then you lightening the lamp. Every meeting is for the enlightening.
Amen.
This morning, did you see light in here?
Amen.
We praise the Lord.
Amen.
The church is not going to go out.
Amen.
The light here will be bright.
Amen.
And shine.
Amen.
Because you and I will have to do our duty.
Amen.
To lightening the lamp. In order for this light to shine, there's a requirement. The weak to be trimmed. Now, weak typify the Christ humanity. I will ask you, which one is more important, lamp or weak? Don't tell me equally important. Then I'm not asking the question. In our experience, lightening the lamp, I would say weak is even more important than lamp. Without the proper weak, there will be no lightening. It applies to our humanity. Brothers, how we live with our spouse? How we deal with our spouse? Sister, how you deal with your husband? Would affect the weak. Without this proper weak, we would have smoke instead of light.
Amen.
This implies to our personal living, personal life. Now, of course, there's also one very important aspect, word. To light the word, to light the lamp, actually is to light the word. And in the Bible, there is one chapter, so probably the longest one. I believe many of you probably know. Psalm 119.
Yes.
And I will encourage you, spend some time to pray read the chapter. In the chapter, very few verses have been referred. There's one verse, 119, 130. the opening of your word gives light. And then it will impart the understanding to simple. I believe we all doing our morning revival. I believe we all of us were reading the Bible. But I will ask you, is the word open to you? The word open, meaning unfold. It's like a book. It needs to open up. If there's no opening of the word, you cannot light the lamp. There will be no lightening. The most you can give is doctrine, some knowledge from the Bible. They were not able to enlighten the land, even strengthening the land, and eventually bring everybody into the Shekinah. We, ultimate goal is to bring us all into the Shekinah, which is the glory of God in the Holy of Holies. For this reason, all of the priests, brother and sister, we need to pick up our function. Take care of our week and lighten the land in every meeting. Your prayer in the Lord's table is to lighten the land. You should not be quiet. Do you realize that? Your quietness is annihilating your function. Think about it. If all of us pray, simple prayer, what a glory will be to God.
Amen.
Everyone will be ushered into the presence of God.
Amen.
May the Lord keep us in such a practice.
Amen.
To fulfill our function as a priest.
Amen. Thank you, we can be here.
Amen.
Oh, receiving your speaking.
Amen.
From the holiest place.
Amen.
Oh, do motivate us more this week.
Amen.
To seek you in the Word.
Amen.
That the opening of your Word would give us more light.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Lord, motivate us.
Amen.
Amen. Your word.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise you for your speaking.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, gain us more.
Amen.
In our daily living.
Amen.
Lord, yes, we want to turn to you.
Amen.
In our weeks. Lord, to light the lamps.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In our daily living to you.
Amen.
In all the brothers and sisters.
Right.
Yes.
Keep us in our function.
Amen.
Bring us into our function.
Amen.
And we not negate our function, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Right. Grant us the desire, amen.
Appetite for your word.
Amen.
Oh, we also pray that your word will be open to us.
Amen.
That we can see light.
Amen.
That you can grant understanding to the simple.
Amen.
We want to come forward to you, with a simple heart.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we pray for your grace.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, give our daily living to you.
Amen.
Oh, this week, oh, Lord, we just want to set aside time before you.
Amen.
Oh, to fellowship and, Lord Jesus, with you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, open your word to us.
Amen.
So shine on us.
Amen.
Yes. Praise you, Lord, that you are light.
Amen.
Praise you that you are guidance.
Amen.
Praise you that you bring us peace.
Amen.
And all that we need is you.
Amen.
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 Lord.